I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Reality Reno with Mitch and Mark. Marky, what a fabulous week we've just had.
Well, we had the chance to do a holiday at home. I don't know if many of our listeners have done that. Of course, with COVID, we've all been in lockdown and holidaying at home.
But our home happens to be in Newport Beach on the northern beaches of Sydney. And I got to say, 5 days chilling beaches, Bungan Beach, Newport Beach, Whale Beach, Bulgola Beach, Palmy.
And then we hit some of the places, Dee, which we have been meaning to do since we moved up here 2 years ago, but it's just been so full on.
Jonah's restaurant hanging over the top of Whale Beach. What a treat. Not to mention the Newport, all sorts of options there.
That was fantastic. And then we went to Alma Restaurant in Avalon, which is Mexican, can highly recommend.
So if you're thinking about having a holiday at home and you live in the Sydney region, thoroughly recommend it. But even if you live anywhere in the country, a Northern Beaches escape is something to consider.
It is, but I think it means, you know, when you're at home, you are in so much that kind of rhythm of what you have to do and when you have to do it and cleaning and cooking and stuff, that it's hard sometimes to stop yourself and take a break.
Well, I suppose the same goes for wherever you live. Do we ever stop and appreciate what we have around us, regardless whether you're the Northern Beaches or anywhere in the country?
It is. I think we're lucky, Mitch, because it felt a bit like Hawaii. People travel to Hawaii and overseas to actually have the time on the beach we had here.
And we actually shared it with our builder from the block, Jason Charles. He and his wife came up and spent 5 days with us.
We had the best time.
And we might have tempted them to move to the northern beaches of Sydney.
There's a big rumour. Maybe if you're doing a renovation in the northern beaches of Sydney, you never know. In the coming months, you might be able to use Charles Brothers Building Construction Company here in Sydney.
No, well, if he's up here, Mark, he'll be working on our place first.
He'll be working there.
But we had a fun podcast with Jason.
We did. We had a chance to sit down and talk to him. A lot of people, you know, they know the contestants on the block, but the builders are the heroes behind the scene. And Jason in particular, you know, he gained a lot of popularity. You call him Mr. Hollywood.
He's got a Hollywood smile. But apart from that, he is a brilliant builder. And he talks about what it was like as a builder on the block. Is it real? Is it fantasy?
Yeah, what's the quality like? We often have people saying, oh, the houses, the quality could be an issue. But Jason shares with us what he thinks about the quality of the houses.
Plus, he gives a few really interesting tips on for anyone working with their builder to get the best outcome out of whether you're project managing or the builder's project managing. Some really good tips on how to stick to budget and make sure the job goes smoothly. You have to work together.
It's
and he really
team
highlights
effort.
That beautifully.
So we hope you enjoy
our chat with Jason. It's Jason, the builder from the block, who built with us twice. Jason and Steve. Jason's the rounder, bald-headed one, if you can't remember him.
You need to describe him that way, do you?
Yeah, I just want to distinguish between the two of them.
Jason is present and he can hear you.
Oh. Thanks, Mitch. That's Hi, a Jay. Lovely introduction.
Welcome, Jay.
How are you, boys?
Good. We are very lucky we have Jason here in Sydney with us, so we get to have him in the room when we're doing the podcast. Welcome back to Sydney.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Isn't it spectacular, Jay? Beautiful beach weather.
Have a look at the view.
We've been surfing.
Well, this is the house, Jason, that we bought when you were up here. So the listeners who may have seen on our socials, we're getting ready to renovate. But the first time we walked into this house, you and your wife Terry were here. And you had a look with the house, and that kind of sealed the deal for us.
It did. It was great.
Yeah.
And here we are over 2 years later, and we still haven't started that bloody renovation.
No.
So why is that, Mitch? Because you decided to do the block again.
life got in the way, including the block. But this year is the big year, Jay. So Jay's up here to give us a bit of guidance on where to start, because this house needs to be renovated from top to bottom.
And who better to have than the best builder the block has ever seen?
Ooh. Ooh. Controversial. You better be careful.
We think the best builder the block has ever seen, and we can now say a winning block builder.
I think better terms are the best team
that the blocker's ever seen.
Oh, you're only as good as your contestants.
It's an interesting question, though. So for people listening today, we thought we would have a chat with Jason, get your experience on the block, what it's like to be a builder on the block, and you've done two blocks now. Mm-hmm. Will there be a third?
Nope.
But, Mark, before we go there, I'd like to get a bit of Jason's background, because I'm sure our listeners would be interested in Jason's background. Maybe. Anyway, we'll give it a go.
Oh, don't do that. Of course they're interested.
So, Jason, you're a Melbourne boy, and you were born, raised in Melbourne?
Born and bred Montmorency, Mitch. Not only Melbourne, never moved out of the area.
Wow, small town boy.
Yes, absolutely.
With small town values, right?
Yes, good, exactly.
Good values, Jason.
Very good values.
Very good values. So we got to meet you, obviously, 3 years ago on the Oslo as a builder. Was building the only career you wanted to do, or how did you end up being what we think is the best builder?
So I actually started at a very young age, which is probably unheard of these days. Mm. I was 13 when I actually left school.
Wow.
My father woke me up one morning and said, that's it. I wasn't the best student at school, let's say.
I didn't know we were allowed to leave that young.
No, well, it was 13 or 9 months. So I actually went to work with my father for a couple of weeks until I found an apprenticeship, because he didn't want me doing my apprenticeship with him.
Wow.
He wanted me in the real world first and learn.
Dad Roy.
Yep. My father Roy, yes.
And people may have seen Roy on the Oslo too, because Roy came in and was helping us. But
he restored our fireplace on the Oslo, our first
and
block.
And he did.
He did that. Your father is such a gentleman. I know people may not have seen it, but when that fireplace was revealed, Roy came in and he actually asked our permission. Would it be okay if we would let him restore that? Because he used to work on them when he was a young man.
A young whippersnapper. Yes.
Like, we give you permission, of course, Roy. And he took so much care in restoring that.
It was incredible.
So he woke you up, pulled you out of school. Why?
Yep. School wasn't for me. You hear of students saying, oh, I don't like school. And I was sort of like that for a couple of years prior to this happening. And then, as I said, I wasn't a very good reader, wasn't a very good writer. So I hated school, so I wanted to get out. So he just woke up one morning, dragged me out of bed and said, right, come to work with me. Gave me a couple of weeks to find an apprenticeship. So he used to drop me off in Thomastown and, knock on all these doors and try and get a job. And then I was lucky enough to land some work experience with a company, JRB Shop Fitting.
Yeah.
Back then, it's not around anymore. But then there was only I think there was five people there when I first started. And then he gave me 2 weeks work experience and it sort of moved on from there. And he said, would you like an apprenticeship? And I just answered yes straight away. And he said, oh, you better go home and speak to your parents. I wasn't allowed to start my apprenticeship because I was too young, so I had to wait until I was 13 and 9 months before I could actually start as a full-time apprentice. So that was I stayed with that shop fitting company for 5 years. So then I left that company and went work for my father as a foreman.
And 30, that's how you got into it. But that's how I got 13 into years old.
So at
you're
18,
knocking on doors
yep.
yeah.
to get an apprenticeship.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Work experience.
At 13.
Yeah.
And at 18, you've been working for 5 years.
I was fully qualified at 17.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, no wonder you have so much experience.
Yeah, well, that was a shop fitting firm too. So that was I did learn a lot there, and it was back then I was travelling a lot of interstate work. It was, I was probably away for 7-8 months of the year. Mm-hmm. So I missed out on a lot of 18th birthdays and all that sort of thing because of work. Mm-hmm. But I was always going to work for my father eventually. And they held me back for another year because I wouldn't leave straight after my apprenticeship, but I did the right thing by that company because they did the right thing by me, so I stuck on for another year.
Yeah.
And then, and then went and worked for my father.
And you worked for your father until basically you took over the business.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
And at what stage, I find it interesting that you're working for your father because he's the mature, experienced builder.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does it become where you become the leader? As opposed to your
father. I think it took me a couple of weeks. No, it was my uncle was actually, he was the foreman for my father. There was only two of them back then. And I sort of went under my uncle for a lot of years, I'd say it would be a good 10 to 15 years under him. And then we sort of branched out and my uncle ended up leaving, going working for himself, and that's sort of when I took over the leading hand role.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really, it is the family business.
Yep.
That started with your dad, mm-hmm. and now it's become Charles Bros.
Yeah.
So like a lot of businesses, there's been kind of the ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
And you've had to learn a lot, like a 13-year-old leaving school,
yep.
did you ever imagine at that age that you would be running? You're like, you've got now a big, what is it's not big in terms of
Metricons,
but it's a significant
It's a bigger
business.
Family business now. Well, I mean, I keep saying, we're a small family business, but that's grown since the block in 2019.
Yeah.
I think I had 6 people on the books back then. We've now got 14 on the books and, five or six full-time subbies. So it's sort of grown to 20 of us now, which is...
And it's your brother and yourself.
Yep, my brother and myself. He did a electrical apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
We both been together since then, which is, 35 years. Yep.
Here you are, like looking back at 13 when you're knocking on the door to get an apprenticeship and now you run a family business that has grown.
A big business that has grown,
is highly regarded. You're a business manager now.
Mm.
Like, could you have imagined?
No, not at 13. No, certainly not.
And didn't like school, and yet you're running.
Yeah, running a business now, which is
books,
great.
Everything.
Yeah, so my brother and I run together.
And your wife Terry works in the business too.
She has been with us for about 3 years now. I think she was a cosmetic chick back then when I met her.
A cosmetic chick?
Yeah, she worked for Clinique back when I met her, 28 years ago almost.
What's a cosmetic chick?
Now, you know what's interesting.
Does that mean a beautician?
She sold cosmetics.
Right.
So
we have known you guys now for 3 years, gotten to know you very well, but I didn't know that about Terry.
Yes.
She was a
makeup artist.
A makeup artist.
Yes.
Ooh.
Terry is sitting in the room right now. And she's not happy with
me. So then Terry went out and left cosmetics after many years, and then she became a CrossFit trainer. She was in that for about 7 years, and then
I don't recall actually asking much about Terry, but
well, she's my rock, Mitch.
She is your rock.
Terry is your rock, I must say. And you've got two beautiful boys,
yes,
Max and Levi, both heading in direction of professional golf.
Well, yeah, Max is certainly well on his way to that. He's been over in America for almost 4 years now, so he's loving it. Levi's, COVID, you hear about it, ruining businesses and things like that. He's just been through year 12, completed that at the end of last year, which is great. But hopefully by the end of this year, he's back over in America with him.
Jason, what do you like about the trade, the building trade? You know, people watching the block, certainly that's where they got to meet you, and you are so enthusiastic about what you do.
Yep.
You just love.
I just love my job.
You do still.
Still love it. And people say, oh, don't you get sick of it? No, I don't. There's always different challenges. I'm still learning. There's so many things that you can learn every day through the building game. You never know everything, which is great. And I love, walking away from property that I've renovated or built and to be able to look back and say, wow, look what we've done.
I noticed with the builders and being around it so much, particularly with the block, we've done a lot of renos, but working on the block was a bit different. It's a real team sport.
It is. It is. Yeah, absolutely. You get the team environment, and once everyone's in that team environment, everyone, they work with each other. I'm not the boss of anybody. Everybody is. It's a team thing. And I think that's why people do enjoy working with us, because it's not a power trip to say, well, you go and do this, you do that. I love getting my hands dirty and doing it with them. So that's sort of, I think that's why people enjoy working with us.
I think that's probably one of the things we enjoyed most about the block first time around, but even more the second time around, that team environment where everybody is part of the team. Nobody is more special than anyone else.
Yep.
If one person is not getting it right, the whole team's let down.
Mm.
So we all had our roles. We were labourers on the building site, and we let the professionals do their job. When it came to planning, that was your area.
Yeah.
And if you got it wrong, you let us down. I was the styling and finishing.
Yeah.
If I got that wrong, I let it down. So sometimes when the judging was going harsh, or if I agreed with something they were saying about not enough or more or whatever, I would feel like, shit, I didn't do my – I've missed out one of my parts of the day.
Yeah, I remember week one on this season, Mitchie, where you got slammed on the Sunday night in the judging, and then you second-guess yourself. And Marky was there, and he said, Mitch, stick with what you're doing. Don't worry about what the judges think, and now look at it.
Yeah, I've forgotten that. Yeah. It was. We were like, whoa, what's just going on? And we had to but we supported each other as a team, including you guys supported us saying –
And I think that's why it works so well, because you guys let us do our work.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if, I know, do it this way. You're fantastic at your designing, and Mitchie, you're fantastic at the styling side of things. So once you knew what you wanted, that made our job easy.
Yeah.
So then it was just a great team effort.
Well, why don't we kind of wind back now to the first day that we ever met Jason Charles, which is the first day Australia ever met Jason Charles and Stevie from Charles Bros. We didn't know you guys. We didn't know your company. We didn't know you existed. We were overwhelmed.
Yep.
And our experience was we're talking to Keith and Dan. It's 2 days in. We've got to do a room on the biggest block ever. There's rubble and debris everywhere. We have no idea. We are not fielders.
It was Thursday.
I think it was like the second day.
It was the second day.
Yeah. And we're not builders. We've done a lot of renos, but we're not builders. So we're in overwhelm. And we'd had a couple of builders come in. We'd gone through HipAge's app. A couple of builders come in. They were like, not sure.
But they were not sure if they could do it. They said, that can't be finished in a week.
Yeah, we thought, they were like, there's no way. And then we turned and I still remember you two standing there like, who are these people? And Keith said, oh, look, these guys look like your new builders.
Yeah.
And we'd put something on WhatsApp. We met you and that's where the dream team started.
No, put something on
HipAge. We put something on HipAge.
Yeah.
We put something on HipAge's.
Yep.
And that's where it started.
Yeah.
And that's where that whole dream team.
But we thought that when you walked in, because we had no build and we thought we're screwed, then you guys walked in, I thought, oh, this is all part of the show. They just set this up. And it wasn't until the end of the first day that we realized that Jason was responding to our HipAge's request and not a setup with a Channel 9 block.
No, you were real. People still say to me, even like recently say, so you knew Mitch and Mark before and I said, no, that was the first day I met them on set. I said, I'd never spoken to them. I spoke to them on the phone through the HipAge's app. And I said, we got there and we didn't know what we were doing. We just went there to do some demolition work for them. I said, and then it was just, Keith said, oh, well, maybe he can be your builder. And I'm like, oh, no. And I just ripped my house apart too.
For a renovation.
Yeah. And then I had to break the news to my wife and say, listen, Dale, and she wasn't all that impressed with it, but then she met you guys and said,
"She can be a cranky cunt at times." I can't believe Terry would get mad with you.
Jason. Then she met Mitch, and he charmed her so much. Well, that first day, that was crazy, and I think I remember saying, "Well, let's just see how it goes," because it has to work for you and for us. So we really kind of went. We're all on. You're testing us.
Correct.
To see whether we would be okay to work with you.
Yep.
How did you explain to Terry that she wasn't going to be getting the renovation that she thought that you're going to be renovating?
We had bare walls. Like, I just stripped all the plaster out. We had no roof. So it was like well and truly into the renovation. And then
you had no roof. So
there was like, you could see the air. Like, we'd fully gutted the.
And your business was small and you didn't have any backup.
We didn't have backup back then. Like, and so then I rang Terry. It was on the Saturday afternoon I rang and I said, listen, Dale, I said, we're going to do some demolition work for these guys and I'll be home later today. And I think we rolled in the door about 8 o'clock that night and we're black from head to toe. And she's like, what is going on? I said, oh, look, we're just going to give it a trial. And she said, what about this? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't even explain to her. So then it was like, then I had to speak to my brother and say, well, can we afford to be builders on the block this year? Yeah. What are we going to do with all our jobs? You know, we had jobs that were going too at the time.
Yeah.
So, and I think we only had like, which was a lot for us back then, we had 3 or 4 jobs on the go and we had to ring the client and say, look, this is the situation. And very luckily they all accepted and they said, yep, no worries, you do what you have to do. We understand if the job's going to slow down a bit, but we got by and got it done.
Wow.
And the rest is history.
And it's interesting, people often get the feedback from contestants on what it was like to be in the block. Mm. I don't think we hear often enough from the builders, the team that makes the team.
Yep.
What was it like, Jason, from the first time around? You knew what you were getting in for the second time.
Yeah, the second time around we did. So the first time, I mean, I think we discussed it with you guys and it was all about organisation. So, you get the other builders that turn up on site at 7 o'clock, then they go and have a discussion with their contestants and say, right, what are we going to do? You got us there early. Said, right, let's get there. Let's have a coffee, have some breakfast, and let's get into it. And so the planning stage was really good, I think, the way that you guys sorted that out. So we were sort of hours ahead of the game before we even started.
At what stage are you sort of hooked in and how does it feel more emotionally? Does it feel...
With the block, you can't go in there and give it you know, half-assed 50% and say, oh, let's just see how this goes. So it was head down, ass up right from the start. It was big hours, big days, so much demolition in that first season. I think we demolished pretty much almost every week. Yes. You know, we were very lucky with a great team. You know, the plumbers that we used on that series, the electricians, everybody sort of got in there and got into it. So it was, from my perspective, I'd say it was emotional right from the start.
I think it's interesting as a builder, you know, you guys are in there doing huge hours.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, not all builders get the exposure that they might hope for. But our experience is generally the builders are invested in the success.
Yep.
Like they're passionate because they wouldn't do this, the hours and the work and the, you know, sometimes the critique that some builders get
isn't great.
Not great.
Yep.
And not always, maybe not always based reasonably.
Yep.
But they still deal with it. Why would a builder do it? Why, like, why do it?
I only did it because of I met you guys. So, for these other builders that think, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it because I'm going to get the accolades that Jason got, the only reason that I think I got so much airtime in that first series, I mean, you've never seen a builder get that much airtime. And I think it was because we were so organized and we were so far ahead all the time. We had time, you know, and people say, oh, you know, you chase the camera, you did this, you did that. But it wasn't like that. The cameras are there. I mean, you know what it's like. It's there 24/7. You walk onto site, you get mic'd up, cameras are there. For the other builders that, you know, a bit of advice I could probably give them, go and enjoy it, you know, and really take on board what you're doing. Don't go in there half-assed and think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to get some camera time, because it's not going to happen. Mm. Just be yourself and do what you have to do and get your job done. So I think that's probably the best advice I could give any other builders, because you can't go on there and say, okay, I'm going to go on there because I want to get some airtime to build my business. You don't do the block for that. You do the block because you want to meet contestants, you want to meet new people, and you want to do a job.
Well, from your experience on the Oslo, because we'll get to Hampton, the Oslo was enormous. What is it like when you're doing work on an old building like that? You know, we're pulling stuff out. What are the – and for people listening, because a lot of people love to renovate old houses, they see the romance of that.
Yep.
But there are big challenges in that. What are the biggest challenges to renovating old properties?
Other than it being a fucking nightmare.
Look, that was the Oslo, I think I heard – you know, through the producers and stuff like that. I think it was week 3 or week 4 maybe. Geez, if we bit enough more we can chew. Like, that was ridiculous. The size of it, we're in the real world, that is a 12-month renovation every day of the week. You would not get through that quicker than 12 months. You know, we're trying to get done in 3 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, and especially those old buildings, you don't know what you're going to, as soon as you take plaster off a wall or pull a bit of flooring up, you don't know what's under there. And because they've been there for so long, it's just, you open up a can of worms.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's and they are beautiful to work on. Like, I love doing old renovations.
I think a lot of people have a big romance about the old building.
Yep.
But if you're going to renovate, you have to be prepared. It's going to cost you a lot more than if you're doing something that's like a 70s building or something like that.
Correct. Any renovation extension on an old building, you can get quotes.
100 years old. 100,
yeah, correct. I mean, you can do, as you said, 70s, 80s, you know, you can do renovation extensions to them and you can lock into a contract price. If I quote a job for a building that's 100 years old, it could blow out by 50% just like that without knowing. You know, you get in there, you get, as I said, you don't know what's under there. So if you're going to renovate an old property like that, over 100 years old, certainly make sure you've got a big bank behind you.
But for people, owners doing that, have an expectation when you're working with your builder that it is likely there are going to be variations, and it's not the builder just creating it. It's because you rip something down and suddenly you see what's been happening for 100 years.
Correct.
So the romance is great of those buildings.
Beautiful.
But the challenge to get there, it takes somebody really, a builder who's really talented to do that. We get a lot of questions from people. How do you choose the right builder? We got lucky. We got you.
A lot of our work is through word of mouth, off the back of the block, obviously. Prior to being on the block, it was all word of mouth stuff. It's very hard to try and find somebody that you can trust.
Sure, you a do builder you can trust.
A builder you can trust, correct. So
also clients you can trust.
Yes, yeah, so that's very hard for the builder to find the client you can trust, because, you know, you meet them for the first time and you think, oh, yeah, they seem really nice.
Yeah.
But then 3 months down the track when things don't go in the way they thought it was, you know, they then lose trust in you.
Yeah.
They think you're being dishonest. I hate variations on jobs. I'd rather have a locked-in contract where there's no variations, where people don't make changes, where we don't find things, because that's where a lot of the breakdown happens between builder and client. So to find the right builder, I'd say you've got to do your homework, try and find out if they can give you some people that they've done work for that you're happy to call up to see how the relationship went. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best thing that you can do, try and get some recommendations.
I think it's interesting, Jason, you're saying for people, it's the relationship that you develop with your builder, because like a lot of relationships, the test is when it goes wrong.
Correct.
Everyone's happy when it goes right.
Exactly right.
But when you're doing renovations, there is always going to be a time when things go a bit haywire.
Mm-hmm.
A supply chain might let you down and you can't get product there. You discover something that no one anticipated, and then you need to talk about variations.
Yep.
There's always a likelihood of variations.
95% of jobs, there's always variations. When you're doing variations, you want to try and have them written out before you actually do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, okay, this is what it's going to cost you. Are you happy to go with that? Get them to sign it off, and then you can move forward. So I'd say to clients, make sure you stick with the builder when they're talking about variations. Say, okay, that's a variation. I understand that. Can you tell me how much it is?
Right.
So then they can get it signed off and move on and keep going with the job.
And if a builder's not going to give you the information on variations, then start to question why.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, on our Hampton blockhouse, our second one, we had a variation that snuck up on us, which was I looked up and saw a space in a roof cavity, which could be a study. That was going to be
– correct.
There was an entrance to a powder room. We started to delete the powder room, put in a staircase and have a study, a dedicated office.
Office study,
work from home office.
Yep.
For two people,
which I think was a big variation. I think that was a great variation, though, Richie. I think that may have won you the block.
Yeah, I think it probably played into that, but that's the sort of thing that people can find when they're doing a build.
Yep.
That variation in the real world would have added, instead of a small powder room, putting staircase in and the we would have added
15,000-20,000.
For that variation.
But then you got your roof, then you got the skylights.
Yes.
Probably closer to 30,000 or 40,000 by the time you do it all.
Yeah. And for us in a block world, being able to get the support of sponsors to do that, it translates. Yep. If you're doing it to flip, that 30,000 translated at sale time to a lot more money.
Correct.
But it's part of the risk.
Well, maybe they did win us the block.
Maybe it did.
I think it was a great move, Mitch.
And that was my decision. So basically, we won the block because of me.
Basically, Mitch won the block
by himself.
Yeah, thank you.
Not as a team.
Thank you, everyone else, for your contributions, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Oslo experience, what was the highlight of that season, Oslo, for you? And what was the low light as a builder?
The highlight was probably the master ensuite.
Yes.
To turn that around, because the builders were behind on that, we didn't have a roof or anything on that. So that's actually couldn't – we got sent home on the Monday and the Tuesday. We didn't start that bath until the Wednesday.
Yep.
So then we ended up waterproofing on the Thursday, and then it rained and it damaged all our waterproofing.
Yep.
So we had so many things thrown at us that week. I think that was probably our highlight.
Yes.
Definitely.
That was an amazing
achieving the finished product.
Yeah. But I also remember, Marky, you coming in as we're putting plaster sheets up saying, what about the insulation? So if you had to pick that up, you know, Keith and Dan, that would have been in there. Pull the ceiling down, do this, do that. So it was very lucky,
And the low light of that
season? The low light of that season?
Mitch on the jackhammer.
Dog. Probably the rap party. That's the low light.
Why? What was that?
Oh, I had a ball. I had a really good night. Apparently, I had a really good night.
Apparently, there was a television involved.
Yes, apparently that was probably my low light.
So that might be. There was just
we had fun at that rap party, but we were so tired.
Jason, a question commonly asked of us, and you probably get the same thing from people: is it real? As in, when you do a bathroom in a week,
yep.
Do you really do a bathroom in a week?
On the block, yes.
Yes.
It's not so I get asked this. I do get asked this a lot, Marky, and, you know, I get clients saying, but you did it in a week on the block. I'm like, yeah, we can do yours in a week too, but your bathroom that's going to cost you $35,000 is going to cost you $50,000. And they say, oh, why? Well, you want to make more money? I said, no, it's not for that. It's for the people standing around. It's the people doing overtime. You know, people are waiting their turn to get in to do the bathroom. So it's, you know, it's got to be well organized, and it does happen in a week. And yes, it is crazy. People say, oh, surely not. People say, oh, they film it over 2 weeks, but they make it look like a week. No, that's not the case. It is done in a week.
But, and it's also that you're in a regular building site, whether it's a house or apartment, you can't work, and you can't work 20 hours a day.
Yep.
Whereas on the block, you can work 20 hours. Like,
yeah. Tools down at 6.
Yes.
But there's so many, you know, sometimes we have to go off site to cut things because you're not allowed to, and that is legit. You cannot use power tools after 6 o'clock. No. You know, that's where the contestants kick in too, because you guys are there. So we're there from sort of 6 in the morning till 6 at night, sometimes 10 at night, but you're there for that next 5 or 6 hours where you have to work and get things done to set us up for the next day. So the contestants have got a massive role, and if they work with their builder and do what the builders ask them to do while they're not there, that makes our job so much easier. And I don't think all the contestants do that. I know you guys did from day one, season one, but I don't think a lot of the other contestants do it.
So the project management element, it's interesting. The success of a renovation is not just about the quality of the trades. Obviously, that's important, but it's the quality of the project management.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's where this is what I think is interesting for you as Jason Charles, who left school at 13. But you understand the importance of communication and project management to get things done.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it all comes down to. It comes down to the project manager knowing what the client wants, so then he can project manage that job. You don't want the client not thinking that the project manager's got that job under control and trying to micromanage the project manager. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Do you, reflecting on that, how proud are you of what you've achieved? When you think of what you achieved of 13 and where you are now?
Yeah, I am. I'm proud of where I'm at with my family. I can support my family, and family's everything to me. So business is obviously second. To be able to support my family and let my children more so go and do what they want to do. And, you know, Max is over in the States now, which is fantastic. That's been his dream since he was probably 12, 13. So now I can see that he's over there doing that. It makes me feel comfortable that he's over there and can do it.
So I'll come back then to that, what you've talked about there. Often as men, we talk about being proud of things we've achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Are you proud of yourself as a person about what you've achieved? The quality of you as a person?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, I think you ought to be.
I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm happy. So if I'm happy, I think that's a way of showing that you're proud.
Yeah.
There's not too many things that worry me or concern me.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty happy person, as you both know.
I know. I think you've achieved an amazing amount.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. And you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Mitch.
So we have been lucky enough to become very, very close friends of yours.
We are.
And, you know, that fateful day that you walked in, you're so happy. That was just magic. We got lucky.
We did get very lucky. We did. And people don't see, as I said, people think, oh, no, you knew them before. It wasn't. It was absolute pure luck that we actually met each other, because I was lined up at Jesse and Mel's door to meet them first.
Jesse Rayburn and Mel, yep.
Rayburn.
Are they married yet?
No. They're not married yet.
They're
having a baby,
though. I know.
Because Mel's gorgeous. They're having a baby, which is a fantastic
movie. So my block could have been completely different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My block experience could have been 100%. It was just that there was like 30 people to meet them, and you guys hadn't had anybody.
Yes.
And one of the producers grabbed me and said, do you want to come down and meet Mitch and Mark there free?
Because they were looking for – they had their building, but they were looking for some to do some labouring, some demo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you might have been in there for 3 days, and that's
correct.
It. Yeah.
So we move forward from that. Oslo was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. Do you still drive past the Oslo?
I do.
And what do you think when you go past it?
It's amazing. It's huge. Like, you'll never, ever see a block
like done a monument,
that
big.
Yeah. Okay, I know they're doing, I think it's 10 acres per this year.
Yes. 10 hectares.
10 hectares.
10 hectares or acres, whatever it is. Yeah, that's huge, but it's not the actual house. The house, I think they were like 55 squares, those houses on the other side. So I don't think you'll ever see that again.
They're enormous. They're the biggest houses that have ever been
built.
It's incredible. So move forward, you went back and helped out a bit on the Block on 20. You become a bit of a regular face on the block.
We both were. We're all back.
You came back and helped out.
You're all stars. And
George and Sarah.
George and Sarah did their beach box.
And then we called you in to save Harry and Tash.
Yes.
Remember when we went, the $1,000 that we could gift an object, and we were not giving you an object you need. Charles Brothers in here, and you came back and worked then.
Stevie and I came in for a couple of days.
Yeah. So you've done that one, and we come to 2021, and you and I have been talking about the block, and I went, you're going to have people ring you. Somebody's going to want you to do the block.
Yes.
Are you going to do it?
And I said, maybe, and you said, don't you dare.
And I said, I want to interview the contestants to make sure they don't like them.
You did say that.
I don't want you to like them more than us. Did you ever expect you would have gotten the phone call from us?
No.
Yeah.
No, we didn't expect
to make a phone call. Not that quick. No. Not 2 years after we did it.
No.
I thought maybe they were going to do an All-Stars down the track or something.
Yeah.
And I thought you guys would be invited back to that.
Yeah.
And then I probably would have done your build then.
Yeah.
But when you rang me and you said, guess what? I've got some news. That was the furthest thing from my mind when you said that.
Well, the way that we introduced that, because we were asked back and we rang your wife.
Well, were you thinking he was going to say, I've left Mitch?
Yeah.
No, he would have gone, oh, yeah, okay, I get that. No, we rang Terry and said, we've been asked to go back on the block and we would like Jason to build for us. And I think Terry rang you and just said, you need to come home.
Yeah.
Because we talk to you every couple of days.
Yep.
We talk so much.
Yep.
And Terry said to you, the boys have got something to tell you. What did you think that was about?
I honestly had no idea. I actually thought there was something wrong, so I'm thinking, shit, what's happening? Like, I better get home. So I flew home, and then I think you did on the computer, on the Zoom call, and then I was sort of sitting there, and then you said that, and I just looked at you, and I'm like, are you serious? I honestly didn't think you were serious.
Yeah.
And then you convinced me that you were serious, and I'm like, oh, I don't think about it. Yeah, I'll do it. I couldn't be FOMO and let another builder come and work for you. I'd be sitting at home watching it thinking, no, that's not right.
You would be sitting at home criticising everything happened, wouldn't you? You would have gone, no, you shouldn't do it this way. You should do this way. You shouldn't do
it. Yeah, no. It was never going to happen.
I think for us, if we hadn't done it together, it would have been a little bittersweet.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I think the fact for people to know, we focused as much as we could on enjoying this time on the basis that we would never be doing this again.
Correct.
That we would
that
never
lasted
be.
About 4 weeks, didn't it, Marty?
It didn't. And I got frustrated. But towards the end, remembering
we did have fun.
Oh, we did. We had the best fun. We did. Yeah. It was a lot of fun because I think, and because we were so close already, it made it even better because we were driving down there, we were leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning, coming down, having breakfast every morning, having coffee, having a catch up before the day started. So we knew what we were doing. And
I used to pep everyone up and make them all feel good.
You do.
Mitch, would you do that? I think, one critique that people have of a season like Fans versus Faves is it's not fair because the Faves has done it before. And I'd say, yes, I understand that. We're experienced and we know what a block week looks like. And I would say we had an advantage this season because we were working with builders we knew.
Yep.
So from the first day, and people might not appreciate that, but we know the truth about that. We know the truth about how hard we work and we know the truth about how we looked at the floor plan and all that stuff that is difficult. But we did have the advantage of working with you guys, and it's a clockwork thing, which meant we had the fastest room ever done on the block. It still is the fastest room ever done on the block, which is
even though you put a screw in after it was finished.
We touched up a bit of paintwork and they said, no, you don't, you're not, you don't get the record. Yeah. But we did the fastest bed room ever on the block. We did the first subterranean bathroom, the first steam room. The engineering was enormous.
Mm.
No one's ever done that before on the block.
No.
And we did the first waterproofing on a Monday.
Yeah.
And that was about planning.
That was, 100% it was about planning.
Yeah, and it was about, it started with the floor plan because the walls that were in common led us to a point where you and Mitch worked out you could get all that done and be waterproofed on a Monday. No one's ever done that before and probably no one will.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Let them try.
What did you like the most about the Hampton House?
I loved it. It was a weatherboard. I love weatherboard homes. I think it was beautiful. It just had such character. I had to put them on. No, I just love the character of the house. And working with Christian Jenkins.
The landscaper.
The landscaper. He is such a space cadet, and he is the best landscaper ever.
Amazing.
We love him so much.
What he created around that house, I think that just
beautiful.
It made people want to be in there. It was just a beautiful family home.
The pool area was it looked settled in. It looked like it had been there
forever.
The garden didn't look like a new garden. It looked like an established garden. It did not look like a block pool area. I think sometimes block pools can sometimes look a little bit Hollywood set.
Yep.
A bit of moveset. Yeah. This just looked like a tropical oasis that had been there for a long time. Yeah. And then when it came to the front.
Yep.
Wow.
Those bricks. Those brick cars. Yeah, it was. It was beautiful.
And what was the most difficult part of that build?
The hardest part was probably that kitchen living area, the cathedral ceilings in there. Yes. That was a lot of work. You know, we went in there that week with a dirt floor. You know, there was nothing there at all. Mm. So we had to do stumps, bearers, joists, flooring, and then we could get up and start doing the roof structure.
To redo that floor, you dug and poured.
We had to dig, pour stumps.
Like on the Monday, you had it. Because you had it so well organized.
Yep. We poured concrete on that Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Because you have to do all your inspections too. So you've got to make sure, you know, and that's where they try to slow you down. Sometimes you say, can I get an inspection? Oh, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. 3 hours later, they still haven't done the inspection. So, you know, and then our concrete's sitting there. So you're like, Keith, Dan, can I get an inspection?
But I guess that, you know, for people watching the block and for people who do say, oh, it's not real, does that really happen? The inspections happen. They have to be signed off.
They have to be signed off before you do anything.
And they're not done for TV. So everything is
inspected. Every single, especially the bathrooms. Like for the people that are buying the block houses, they are all done like legit. There's no shortcuts. There's no nothing. Yeah. They've got to get in. They've got to do the inspections on your subfloor, inspection of your water, for your waterproofing.
It's almost a better buy.
It's, 100%.
If you buy a block house, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't get those inspections in the real world.
No.
You know what I mean? You get a subfloor inspection. You get a stump hole inspection, and then they come in for a final inspection.
Yeah.
You know, they don't pre look at before you put tiles on the wall, before you put plaster on the wall.
Yeah.
None of that gets done.
So as a builder, the quality of what you're doing there is above standard.
Yep. Definitely high end.
Which is important, I think people realize the work that you do is amazing.
So let's move on to the highlight of the Hampton season. What was the moment?
The highlight, you mean greater than working with you again?
The highlight's probably quite easy. I think it was on the Saturday night of Front Yard Week when the block finished. Just to stand back and look at what you guys created and what we built was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was really, really good. I loved it.
Did you ever expect it to be the winning house?
Honestly, no.
No.
I thought it should have won, as I did on the Oslo, because we did it. I thought... I thought Jesse Kirsty, I thought, couldn't lose because of the size of the house. But then when you got your reserves and everything, then I thought, oh, my God, what's going on here? And then when Ronnie and Georgia did the order, the auction order, that's probably when I thought, hang on a minute.
So you're a betting man. Who at that point, who were you backed and put money on? Or who did you back and put money on?
Oh, of course I backed you boys. look, I honestly thought that Ronnie and Georgia – even when they went first, I thought that was their biggest mistake. Mm-hmm. I thought if they had gone in any other order, that would have been a really hard house to beat.
Mm-hmm.
She's brilliant at what she does, obviously. And I thought it was all set up. I thought all the production know who's going to win. So I thought it was all a set up. But knowing that you guys now won, I know it's not set up because they wouldn't have set that up.
They wouldn't have set up fast to win.
No, that's what I mean. 100% they wouldn't have.
But it's funny you say because I thought the same. I thought – Ronnie and Georgia are going first. I thought first was a bad position.
Yep.
But when they went first, I thought, maybe there's something they know that I don't.
Yeah.
The reserves were high, and I expected them to win from the start.
Yep.
When we went to auction, we absolutely expected to potentially not make any money.
Yep.
Anything above nothing was a bonus.
Yep.
And we had convinced ourselves that our joy would come from creating that amazing home and the fun we'd had along the journey.
Yeah.
We had to condition ourselves for that.
Yeah, I didn't think – and even after the, you know, watching it, seeing what Ronnie and Georgia made, I mean, obviously, we knew the result on the Sunday night when we came and saw you guys, yes. But even watching it on TV, I thought there is no way known I would have thought you'd make over what they made. Because yeah. of the reserves were set yeah. so high, I thought, geez, I don't think anybody's going to make money
yeah.
this season.
Yeah.
And I was really concerned for all of you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was the best outcome ever.
Wow. So for me, one of the last things that I want to ask you, it's a two-prong. What would be your best advice to future contestants going the block, and what would be your best advice to future builders going on the block?
Contestants, certainly get your planning done early. Make sure you know what you want to do, and let your builder do his job. So that's probably for a contestant. Be organised. That's the biggest one for them. Builder, don't overstep your mark. Don't think you're a designer. Don't think you're going to tell the contestants how they're going to make their house. Listen to what they've got to say. If you've got any advice that you don't think is going to be good, put it up. If they knock it on the head straight away, move on. Don't stand there and argue for hours and see what you can achieve. Make sure you get in there and get your job done.
Okay. So kind of stay to your lane, both yep. of you. But as a both contestant,
yep.
be organised.
Yep. yep, 100%. Can I give one other advice to
yes,
a contestant?
Yes, you can, Jason.
One massive one. I don't understand these contestants that go under the block. They know at least 2 to 3 weeks prior to them starting on the block, right? Why would they not go out and get some painting lessons?
Seriously.
Well, we were the same.
Yeah, but that was the first season. But these people, they're still doing it. They're still walking under the block. Oh, how do I paint? You know, people are walking around using a 2-inch roller when they should be using an 8-inch roller. It's just learn how to paint before you go on.
If you yes. can do nothing else,
yep.
learn how to paint before you walk on the
yep. block.
Because you'll make it easier for yourself. You'll make the quality better.
Quality.
And you'll present rooms that won't have a point taken off because of crap painting.
Correct. Crap painting. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How has the block changed your life?
Well, found family, friends forever. That's one thing. That's the best thing I can take out of the block, honestly. And people think, oh, that's so, you know, romantic or whatever you want to say. That is the truth. I mean, as you said, even after the first season, we still spoke every second day, third day.
Yeah.
So the best thing that I've got out of the block is certainly the relationship I've got with you guys.
Particularly with me, Jason.
Yes, Mitchie, of course.
Right, cool. I thought that might be the case, yeah. Jason, we've asked you so many questions.
Yes.
Now we're going to turn the table. Not Ooh. Flip it, just turn it.
Yes.
And You're we are flipping. Going to allow you
mm-hmm.
to ask us anything you want,
Any.
Nothing off the table.
Oh, all right. Mitchie, I've got a good one for
this
you.
This is dangerous.
This is now. Directed at you first.
You sound like you have one planned.
I have been listening to your podcast. So season one and season two that we did together,
yes.
So 2019, 2021.
Yes.
When you were off shopping and Marky and I were back on the job site working together,
mm-hmm.
did you have a little bit of FOMO?
I'm hesitating because I know my answer straight away,
yeah.
And I think it sort of shows a bit of fault on my part. But yes, I absolutely had FOMO because there's a whole when you're out selecting pieces as a designer as opposed to shopping. When you're out making your selections, I try to be really quick and decisive on it to get it knocked over so I can get yeah. back to work.
And you are.
But you, for anyone who's taken that role, you are missing out because there's a whole team thing going on. And if it's a mm. team that you love to be part of,
mm-hmm.
A team you'll be part of, you're missing out on that aspect. Also, you lose a bit of connection with where the job's up to.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, that's a good answer. This is a one for both of you. If you could take your soul out of your body and go back to when you were, say, 30 years old,
mm.
What would you say to yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. If we could go back and talk to us at 30, what would you say?
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'd say.
What would you say?
It's all going to work out. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Mm, I think I really would say to myself to relax and have more fun.
Mm.
Yeah. Probably it's a bit like it'll all be okay.
Yep. Same, but different.
I think when I say it's all going to be okay, because yep. at 30 I was married, I was accepting that I was gay, and then thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is real.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen with them. I don't know what happens. I thought that I had to stay in my marriage forever and lie about who I was, and I didn't see any other option. But then, as the next over not long period after that, I realized that one day I had to be honest, and be honest with myself, and honest with everybody, and it was such a relief.
Such a relief.
Like, and it was damaged because I had a wife and three children. So it wasn't about me. It was about how it impacted all of us. For them, it's like a changing the way their life runs. For people around you, there's a disappointment. And when I look back on their disappointment, I do think, you know, a line from the block, how dare you? But it's also like, what right have you got to be disappointed in who somebody is? People don't choose to be heterosexual or gay or trans or whatever. The choices are made for them. So when people are disappointed, go fuck yourself.
No, it's like, yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's how dare you? Yep. And I think that I carried that I didn't want to disappoint. So I conned myself that my gay thoughts happened to all boys. You suppress them. They're not real.
So what age, Minchie, what was the time frame between you knowing that you wanted to come out and you actually come out? Was it a long period of time, or was it?
I never planned to come out. I remember my wife one day in the kitchen when we lived in the US, we're in Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. I remember things were going wrong and I was struggling and her shaking me saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "There's one thing I can never tell you. If I ever tell you we are over, I can never tell you."
Wow.
And she's, "Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me." And I just said, "I'm gay." And from the moment I said that, I knew it was the path to our marriage being over.
Okay.
And because she said, we'll work through it.
Yeah.
We went to see a psychologist. I don't know what we're going to stop me from being gay. Because I do remember saying to the psychologist, I'm gay. I'm not broken. There's nothing to fix here.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I think that, you know, my wife thought that we'd fix it, but you can't fix it.
Yeah.
But I think I like that. That one phrase, it's like, I'm gay, I'm not broken.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why am I going to a psychologist? I don't need it. I'm gay.
And there are people still dealing with conversion therapy in some places in the world, and there are still people being killed as a result of sexuality. And, you know, even for Mitch and I, things like flying via Dubai.
Yep.
I have no interest in staying in Dubai.
Yeah, okay.
Because we are criminals just by the fact of being gay.
It's so bad.
Same with Russia.
So bad.
There's so much history there that would be amazing.
Yep.
But I don't need your judgment, so I don't need to visit you to make me illegal. I don't need your validation. Mitch is right.
Yep.
We're not broken. There's nothing to fix.
Exactly. Yep.
Deep.
Very good. It was deep, very deep, wasn't it?
Oh, God, that was a Dr. Phil moment from Jason from the blog. So if people... Jason, it's always so wonderful for us to chat with you. Always have a great time talking with you. But interesting to hear a little more about your life and, you know, how things have evolved, your experiences as a builder on the block. Because everyone hears about the contestants, but it's the builders who are the backbone, the builders who make these things happen. And you know how pleased I am that you can say you are a builder of a winning blockhouse.
Makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
So well deserved.
Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Jason. It is always a pleasure and a delight to chat with you and hang out with you. And I got to say, I think you've confirmed quite a few things there for building on the block.
He has. You know, we met Jason 3 years ago. He's become one of our best friends. He and his wife, Terry, are so much fun. But what he did confirm, which is interesting, as a builder, the inspections and the things that have to be signed off for those houses on the block are probably more than what happens generally in a build.
Because you've got professionals overseeing to sign off as opposed to just the builder doing his own work signing off.
You know, completely. And whilst it makes good drama to see Keith or Dan come in and checking things, they actually are checking to make sure it's done correctly. So those houses are probably better built than a lot of them.
But it was interesting, Marky. Whilst he felt that he'd built the best house on the block this season, he didn't think we were going to win.
I know, Jason, what was that all about? You're the best builder. What I think is we're so proud about is that he can now say he is a winning builder on the block.
And very deservedly so.
He is. So hopefully when he comes up to Sydney, if we can get him up here, he will have a lot of work.
We hope you enjoy listening to our chat with Jason as much as we enjoyed recording it.
So if you have enjoyed listening to Reality Renter with Mitch and Mark, please share it with any of your friends. Send the link to them. You can find Reality Renter with Mitch and Mark where you get your good podcasts from. And we will look forward to talking with you next week.
We've got a really interesting person or persons to talk to.
Yeah, they might have travelled a bit.
See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.